ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करं लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः अखण्डं सच्चिदानन्दम् अखण्डं सच्चिदानन्दम् अवाङ्मनसगोचरम् अवाङ्मनसगोचरम् आत्मानमखिलाधारम् आत्मानमखिलाधारम् आश्रयेऽभीष्टसिद्धये आश्रयेऽभीष्टसिद्धये अर्थतोऽप्यद्वयानन्दान् अर्थतोऽप्यद्वयानन्दान् अतीतद्वैतभानतः अतीतद्वैतभानतः गुरूणाराध्य वेदान्तसारम् गुरूणाराध्य वेदान्तसारम् वक्ष्ये यथामति वक्ष्ये यथामति सो आफ्टर् दिस् ऐ लास्ट् क्लास् ऐ मेट् वेरि क्लियर् द डिफ्रेन्स् बिट्वीन् वेदान्तशास्त्रम् द ओरिजिनल् शास्त्रम् and the prakarana grantha I told you the difference. The shastram discusses all the aspects of the shastram, whereas the prakarana grantha discusses a given aspect of the shastram, elaborates on it, so that clarifies the doubts in every aspect. That is the prakarana grantha. And here in this Vedanta Sara text, the teacher begins with the four factors which go with the textbook. What are those four important factors? Adhikari, Vishayaha, Prayojanam and Sambandha. Adhikari, Vishayaha, Prayojanam, Sambandha. Adhikari, the eligible candidate, the eligible student, adhikari, vishayaha, the subject matter, and prayojanam, the benefit of the knowledge we get through the study of the understanding of the subject matter. Then sambandha, the connections, the relationships. Mainly the relationship is between the text and the knowledge. The text is a revealer and the subject matter is the revealer. The knowledge is the revealed. So the connection, revealer, revealed connection. And we have to understand how the words of the textbook, the subject matter of the textbook, how it contributes for the rising of the knowledge. One thing. Then the sadhana sadhya sambandha, how the knowledge and the benefit. This is sadhana sadhya sambandha, knowledge is the means and moksha is the end. It's a means and end relationship. Like this, we have these relationships. If you ask the question, what is the purpose of knowing this Anubandha Chatushtayam? What is the purpose? Why does any textbook, any traditional textbook, why do they discuss this Anubandha Chatushtayam? Each factor is called Anubandha. Bandha means actually a textbook. Anubandha means the factor which goes along with the textbook. Therefore, Anubandha, there are four Anubandha, and together we call them Anubandha Chatushtayam, a set of four factors. And here, why do we need to know these Anubandhas, or why are they discussed in the very beginning of the study? They're discussed mainly to attract the students, attract the readers. Because by knowing the Anubandhas, the people can decide whether I should read this book or not. People who are interested in the given subject matter, and people who are qualified for to understand the given subject matter, and people who are interested in the given end or given benefit, and people who know the connections, what is the connection here? What is their end and what is the connection between that end? By knowing these four factors, people will choose to read certain books on their own. It is just to help the people to understand, to make them get interested in the books also. They are presented always. Okay. And now we are seeing the first factor called Adhikari. The difference between this book and the Tattvabodha is, Tattvabodha itself presents the teaching completely, but he still, even some factors which are not discussed in Tattvabodha are also discussed here. For example, the Adhikari, now we are seeing the first factor called Adhikari. And lot of things are not mentioned there in Tattvabodha. Here this author elaborately he discusses. And first we saw who is Adhikari. We saw Adhikari is the one who is endowed with these fourfold qualifications. But we have not yet understood what are the fourfold qualifications. We have not yet gone to the topic. What are the things which made him qualified? How does one become Adhikari? How does one become the one endowed with the fourfold qualifications? How does he become qualified? This is not said in Tattvabodha. Whereas here he says, one must have had a general knowledge of the Shastram. Either in this Janma or in his previous Janma, he must have had some punyam, somewhere he must have had some exposure, because of which he gets, interested in the study. Otherwise also, we saw how he would have done all different types of karmas. The one who would have practiced, given to the discipline of meditation, practiced meditation, or one who would have lived a life of karma yoga. And one who would have lived a life of karma yoga means what? What all the actions he would have performed, what all the rituals one would have performed, how all these things ultimately contribute for the preparation of this individual for the Shastra study, thereby he becomes eligible student, eligible person. The Adhikari Bhavati, he becomes an Adhikari. And so we are still seeing that portion. And last class we've been discussing the different types of karmas. I tell you, you cannot go understand these things very clearly like in this Vedanta Sara. Let me repeat all those karmas once quickly, so that you will remember. What are the karmas? Kamya karmani. You can say kamyani or kamya karmani, number one. Number two, nishiddha karmani. kamya karma, nishiddha karma. Then nitya karma, 3. Number 4, naimittika karma. Number 5, prayaschitta karma. So 5 types of karma he mentions. Kamya karmani, nishiddha karmani, nitya karmani, naimittika karmani, prayaschitta karmani. He mentions. So what is kamya karma? He also defines each karma. Definition of each type of karma, each type of action also is presented here. We saw what is kamya karma, nitya karma, etc. We have seen. We have seen the definition of each karma. And when he defines in this work, we also see the example also for each karma. So what is kamya karma? He says kamyani. What is the definition of kamya karma? He says ishta sadhanani. You can write down. I'm giving the notes like now. Kamya karma is equal to ishta sadhanam karma is equal to kamya karma. If somebody asks you kamya karma kim? Or kamyam karma kim? Kamyani karmani kani? What is kamya karma? What should be the answer? Ishta sadhanam karma or ishta sadhanani kamya karmani. Ishta sadhanani means what now? Those actions performed which serve as means of fulfilling one's desires. The actions performed as a means of fulfillment of one's desires are called kamya karmani. Know the Sanskrit definition each word. Kamya karmani means ishta sadhanani. The definition number one. Then example he gives. What example given for that? Jyotishta homaha. Jyotishtomaha is the example given. So Jyotishtomaha is an example. Suppose homa, a fire ritual called Jyotishtohoma. If a person performs that, he can go to Swarga, heaven. So heaven is the object of desire, and to fulfill the desire of going to heaven by performing the Jyotishtohoma. Give the example. So Jyotishta Homa is example for Kamya Karma. Kamya Karma means what now? Ishta Sadhanam. Ishta means desired end. Sadhana means. The Kamya Karma is a karma performed for fulfilling or fulfillment of one's desires. Example. Now this definition is over. Next. Nishiddham Karma. Or nishiddhani karmani. Now I'm putting the word in plural word. Okay, nishiddhani karmani or nishiddham karma. Suppose what is nishiddham karma or nishiddhani karmani? What are nishiddhani karmani means prohibited actions. Nishiddhani karmani or nishiddham karma. What is a prohibited action? What is a nishiddha karma or nishiddhani karmani? He says anishta sadhanani. Definition, this is the definition. Anishta sadhanani karmani nishiddhani. Anishta sadhanani. So anishta sadhanani means the actions which become the cause for reaping the undesirable ends, results. The actions performed which become the cause for the undesirable ends. Here you should see the difference here. The previous, when I said sadhanam means, I said. Now I say sadhana means the cause. Know why? Anishta sadhanam means cause for the undesirable result. Unwanted, undesirable result. Okay, what example given here? Narakadi. Narakam, going to hell, is what? Nobody will like to go to hell. Because hell means, hell is supposed to be a place of suffering where pains and only pains and suffering is there. Therefore, the wrong actions performed will result in what? Result in the suffering, which is undesirable. Therefore, example is Naraka Praptihi, attainment of Naraka. Therefore, Naraka Prapti means attainment of Naraka, hell, is what? The result of, is Anishtam result, Anishtam, unwanted result, and is caused by the certain actions. So, those actions which become the cause for the undesirable result, such as attainment of hell, etc., is called what now? Nishiddhani Karmani. So, ishta sadhanam kamyam karma. Anishta sadhanam nishiddham karma. Okay, finished. Next. Not only that. What is a papa karma? The example he gives, karma is what? Brahmana hananadini. Brahmana hanana means killing of a brahmana. Is the example here. Prohibited action means the wrong action which becomes the cause for the undesirable result, such as going to hell, attainment of hell, etc. And here, what is the example for the action? Brahmana hananam. Don't think only brahmana hananam, generally killing, etc. Okay, this example is over. You know, you should remember the definition and the example also. Okay, next is Nitya Karma. What is Nitya Karma? He says, Nityani. Nityam Karma or Nityani Karmani Kani. Definition of Nitya Karma is what? Akarane Pratyavaya Sadhanani. Or Akarane Pratyavaya Sadhanam Nityam Karma. So Nityam Karma means a compulsory regular duty, regular actions which become the cause for pain or some sin. If they are not performed, akarane pratyavaya sadhanani. Nitya karma is the karma which, when not performed, they become the cause for a sin called pratyavaya, cause for suffering, cause for the problems in life. So, nitya karma is a compulsory duty which become the cause for the suffering or pain if they are not performed. The pratyavayaha means a name of the result. What is the result? This is also undesirable result only. So prohibited actions are the actions, they give you wrong result, undesirable end if they are performed. Nitya karma are the actions, they give the wrong result, undesirable result if they are not performed. Nitya karma, if you do not perform nitya karma, it will result in undesirable ends. Prohibited actions, if you perform, it will result in undesirable ends. So nitya karma also becomes the means, a cause for the undesirable pain, sin or pain, papam, if they are not performed. So prohibited actions are the actions, they will result in papam if they are performed. This is different between nitya karma and pratishiddha karma or nishiddha karma. Okay, now we'll go to the next. So akaranam means what? Non-performance of which will lead to the attainment of pratyavaya dosha, pain causing result. Okay. Next is what now? Example is what now? Example, everyday worship. Everyday worship is what now? Nitya karma. Example, he gives Sandhya Vandanam. 3 times a day, morning, so dawn, noon and dusk. If you do not worship, it's a Sandhya Vandanam, it's a particular form of worship. If you do not do, definitely it will result in Pratyavaya Dosha. They say that. Okay. Now you learn 3 karmas. Now, Naimittika Karma, 4th one. Naimittikam Karma or Naimittikani Karmani Kani. What are those Naimittikani Karmani? So, Nitya Karma is to be done compulsory duties, regularly performed compulsory duties. Okay. Naimittikam Karma means occasionally performed rituals or actions are called Naimittikani Karmani. He says, Putra, see, Anuband, so here, Naimittikani means occasionally performed actions or duties associated with certain occasions. Like what? Like child's birth is the occasion. Every day it doesn't happen. That such a karma to perform associated with the child's birth. And that particular ritual is called Jata Ishti. Jata Ishti. Jata Ishti means a puja, a ritual performed at the time of the birth of a child. Are associated with the birth of a child. Called Jata Ishti. Jata Karma, we say. Example he gives. We can include as what now? Shraddham, Amavasya, Tarpanam, etc. You can include. Naimittikam Karma. Okay. But Naimittikam Karma, if you do not do also, don't get papam. Okay. If you do, it is good. So they say. Next. Okay, next is prayaschittam karma. Prayaschittani or prayaschittam karma or prayaschittani karmani. Definition is given here. Papakshaya sadhanam prayaschittam karma. What is prayaschittam karma? You have to give Sanskrit definition. Papakshaya sadhanam. In plural, Papakshaya sadhanani. Papakshaya sadhanam, singular. Papakshaya sadhanani, plural. Prayaschittam, singular. Prayaschittani, plural. So, prayaschittam karma or prayaschittani karmani. What is prayaschittam karma or prayaschittani karmani? We say, papakshaya sadhanani. So, papa means sin, kshayaha means removal, elimination, destruction or neutralizing. Sadhanani means, so the certain specific rituals performed for neutralizing the ill effects of the wrong actions. Certain rituals, specific rituals or specific actions performed which serve as means of neutralizing the ill effects of the wrong actions previously done or done before. Previously, one must have done wrong actions and there must be ill result, ill effects. And now again you do some new good thing to neutralize the ill effect of the previous old karma, old papa karma. So prayaschitta karma means papa kshaya sadhanam. The ritual or action performed which serves as a means of neutralizing the ill effects of the wrong actions. The previously unknowingly or knowingly done wrong actions. Papakshayak sadhanani. Okay. I'll reduce the ill effects. And example is given is what? Chandrayanadini. Chandrayanam. One example is given. For every karma is defined. An example also is given. We don't know everything. At least you know at least one example. Chandrayanam. I explained a thing last class. Chandrayanam means the particular ritual, particular specific action, specific karma. How do you do? I told you, on Amavasya day, you starve, full day don't eat. Actually, on full moon day, you don't eat anything. You know, eat very well. Then whatever you eat on full moon day, 3 times a day you can eat. Then what do? You divide them into 15 portions. And every day you reduce one portion. Prathama tithi, you reduce one portion. Dvitiya tithi, you reduce 2 portions. Tritiya tithi, you reduce 3 portions. You have to keep on reducing every 1/15 you reduce every day. Then finally what? On new moon day, you will have nothing to eat. Okay, you will starve. Again, after new moon day, again first day or until the full moon, you can increase. Okay, 1/15 you start eating 1/15, 2/15, 3/15, 4/15, increase. And again, full moon day, you can have what now? 15. Okay, full 15 portions you can eat. Is called a particular, is the way of, one way of vratam, a type of vratam called Chandrayanam. So Chandrayanam is only one of the prayaschitta karma. Don't think only prayaschitta karma. Chandrayanam is one of the prayaschitta karmas. So prescribed in the Shastram. And here this author gives the example. So what is the karma is called prayaschitta karma. Definition is what? Papakshaya sadhanam. Example is Chandrayanam. Okay. We finished this much. It's all old lessons. Now, next is what? Upasanani. We come topic of upasanam. Please remember, don't forget this fact. We are seeing the first factor of the Anubandha Chatushtayam called Adhikari. Okay, don't forget this. And there again, what all the things one would have contributed for making one an adhikari, that is what we are discussing now. Okay. Next is upasanam. Here upasanam, I taught you many times the word meaning of the word upasanam. Even though you know the word upasanam is a synonym of the word dhyanam. Dhyanam or upasanam mean the same. And so here upasanam, the dhyanam means what now? Dhyanam means being focused. It's called dhyanam, ekagrata. Okay, being focused. definitely being focused on the object of meditation. And the object of meditation is what? Brahma, Sagunam Brahma, Ishwaraha. Okay, why meditation is called Upasanam? Again, Asanam means being seated and Upa means near. So, Upa Asana means placing the attention of the mind near the object of meditation. Placing the attention of the mind, it means what? The attention of the mind must be going all over. You catch the attention of the mind, bring the attention of the mind, and place the attention of the mind near the object of meditation. So, placing the attention of the mind near the object of meditation is called what? Upasanam. Near the object is Upasanam, a given object. And that object happens to be what? Definitely Sagunam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma means what? The reality with attributes. Sagunam Brahma, it is called Ishwaraha Bhagavan. Therefore, and what is it? Okay, definition is given. What is the Upasanam? What is the definition for that? Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. You have to write now. For everything at Upasanam is equal to Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Now, next class, you should know, if you make a notes, define each karma, write the name of the karma, the definition of the karma, and example of each karma. Three things you have to write for each karma. Now, we are going to Upasanam. Upasanam is what? What is the definition of Upasanam? Sanskrit definition. Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. So, Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha, Vishayaha subject matter or object. Manasa means mental. Manaha means mind. Manasa means mental. Vyaparaha activity. So, Upasanam is a Manasa Vyaparaha, is a mental activity for which object is, object of that activity, mental activity, object of focus is Sagunam Brahma. Is the meaning of the sentence. Okay. An example the author gives here is Shandilya Vidya. We don't need to know what is Shandilya Vidya. Example he gives, Shandilya Vidya is a name of one particular meditation. Okay. I give a minute. Now because you're heading Chandogya, you can easily understand what? So many upasanas you have led now. Example I don't need to give you now. Now Shabda Brahma Upasanam or Indriya Vag Brahma Upasanam, Prana Brahma Upasanam. You will learn so many upasanas like that. It's all examples. Okay. Saguna Brahma Vishya Manasa Vyaparaha. So, Sagunam Brahma is the object of meditation, the mental activity for which, the mental activity for which the object is Sagunam Brahma Ishwara. That is called Upasanam. Suppose, Manasa Vyaparaha, Vishya is Sagunam Brahma, television serial. Television, serial, Vishaya, Manasa, Vyaparaha is not Upasanam. Okay? It is Paravasanam. Not Upasanam. It is what now? It's a distraction, not meditation. Therefore, Manasa Vyapara is there always. But Vishayaha, the object of Manasa Vyapara, must be what? Only Sagunam Brahma. Only then it's called Upasanam. Okay? Okay. Next is, now he's saying, he talked about all the disciplines. So meditation as a preparatory discipline, then all the karmas, prayaschitta karma, nitya karma, naimittika karma, kamya karma, nishiddha karma, all that he has discussed now. Now he says, what is the benefit of following these different types of karma or rituals or actions? He says, yetesham nityadinam. I think this is the new lesson. Until now we have already done. This is the new lesson begins from here. Yetesham nityadinam buddhi shuddhihi paramam prayojanam. Sentence, stop the sentence there. Yetesham nityadinam paramam prayojanam buddhi shuddhihi. Buddhi shuddhihi means antahkarana shuddhihi. Mental purity is the ultimate result, ultimate benefit. Paramam prayojana means what is that benefit ultimately you gain as are expected, ultimately expected as a result of following these karmas. Here, what is the ultimate? All these actions, all these rituals, when they performed, they produce the results, relative results. But ultimately, what is expected when you perform any ritual, any action, you expect a given result. That's a different thing. But by following all these rituals, performing all these actions, practicing these karma disciplines, nitya karma, etc., the ultimate benefit expected of these actions, performance of these actions, or practicing these disciplines is buddhi shuddhihi. Buddhi shuddhihi means antahkarana shuddhihi. All following me? It's nice, isn't it? Nice to know that. Now you can learn Sanskrit definitions. Definitions in Sanskrit itself. That's the beauty of this text. Small definitions. Do you feel bored with the class? I'm repeating it mainly for you to memorize this verse. Because I'm following the text on the computer. That's why I'm not able to see you. So I come back to you to see how you are following or not. Okay. Buddhi shuttihi paramam prayojanam. Okay. And for this also, he gives an example. Example is given here. The ultimate benefit of following these rituals, practicing karma, is mental purity. For which he gives example. He quotes one sentence from Veda is quoted. Tametamatmanam tam yetam atmanam vedanu vachanena brahmanaha vividishanti yajnena tam yetam atmanam veda anuvachanena brahmanaha vividishanti yajnena tam yetam atmanam veda anuvachanena brahmanaha vividishanti yajnena. This is one sentence from Veda. I guess example. What they say? The wise people or mature people want to know the self through the words of the Veda. The wise mature people want to know the reality Atma through the means of the words of the Veda by preparing themselves through the performance of rituals. this example given. The next example is given. Tapasa kalmasham hanti. Tapasa kalmasham hanti. This is an example from Smriti. Tapasa kalmasham hanti is a Smriti example. And the tam yetam atmanam veda anuvachanena brahmanaha vidishanti agena is a Shruti example. One is Shruti example, Veda example, one is a Smriti example. What Smriti example is what? Tapasa kalmasham hanti. So, tapasa kalmasham hanti means people get destroyed their impurities, kill their impurities through disciplined life or through the disciplines, by following disciplines. Tapasa, a following penance. Through the penance or austerity, or by following penance or austerity, people undo their impurities, remove their impurities. Is the meaning of this sentence. So these two are examples for what? All these different types of performing different types of karma ultimately result in what? Mental purity. And for which they give two examples, one Shruti example, one Smriti example. Ityaya Smritescha. Okay. Now comes the next sentence. Upasana Palam is mentioned in the next. So now we have already learned what? The benefit of following the rituals you have seen. Paramam Prayojanam Buddhi Siddhi we have seen. Now here upasananam tu chitta ekagryam. Upasananam tu chitta ekagryam. Upasananam tu chitta ekagryam. Let us put it. Chitta ekagryam. We split the word. Plus ekagriyam becomes what? Chittaikagriyam. Chitta ekagriyam means chitta ekagrata. So ekagriyam or aikagriyam, ekagrata means the same. Oneness of the mind. Single pointedness of the mind. Concentration of the mind, steadiness of the mind. See, very beautifully said here. In the whole Bhagavad Gita, you heard what? Karma Yoga is for Antakarna Shuddhihi, Upasanam is for Antakarna Naishchalyam. Remember that. That's what here it is. He used what now? Buddhi Shuddhihi means Antakarna Shuddhihi, Chitta Ekagra means Antakarna Naishchalyam. Chittaikagriyam means single pointedness of the mind or we can say mental steadiness. Chit antahkarana naischalyam. You have learned this word antahkarana naischalyam. And here you are learning what? Chittaikagriyam, chitta ekagrata. Mental concentration, you can say. Mental steadiness. Mental purity and mental steadiness. And what is that which serves as a means of attainment of mental steadiness? Upasanam. Upasananam paramam prayojanam. We have to add the word. Upasananam paramam prayojanam chittaikagriyam. The ultimate benefit of practicing meditation is what? Mental steadiness or single pointedness of the mind. Okay, now we know karma yoga results in antakarna shuddhi, upasanam results in antakarna naishchalyam. Okay, now we'll go to the next sentence now. Now, apart from the benefit, main benefit, paramam prayojana means ultimate result, ultimate benefit you have already seen. Now, apart from the main result, there's also byproducts also will be there. It's called avantara phalam. There is also some other results. Avantara phalam means byproducts. There are some other results which are also attainable as byproducts of the practice following these rituals or karmas. That is said here. Next sentence. Nitya naimittikayoho. Nitya naimittikayoho upasananam cha. Nitya naimittikayoho. When I'm reading, you can also write down, spit and write down also if you want. Nitya naimittikayoho upasananam cha avantara phalam. So there is an avantara phalam, intermediary result, or there is a result which is apart from the ultimate result benefit. There is also an intermediary result, means what, as a byproduct, one more result also is there for the practicing this meditation and performing nitya naimittika karmas. What is the avantara phalam for practicing meditation and performing nitya naimittika karma? Is saying pitruloka satyaloka praptihi. Pitruloka satyaloka praptihi. Ultimate benefit is antakarna shuddhihi and antakarna naischalyam, buddhi shuddhihi or chitta ekagrata, mental purity and mental steadiness, the ultimate result of practicing the following actions, rituals and practicing meditation. But here, what is the relative result? He says, pitruloka satyaloka praptihi. If people follow properly with shraddha all these karmas, if they practice meditation, and as a result of which, apart from the mental purity and mental steadiness, which is the ultimate benefit, we also have what now? Pitruloka satyaloka praptihi. They can go to what now? They can also enjoy the results of, enjoy the benefit of going to the world of means, pitruloka, or they can go to satyalokaha, otherwise called brahmalokaha. Pitrulokaha or satyalokaha, two lokas. Pitruloka is called pitruloka, then satyaloka. The two different, if you perform the ritual karma, you will go to pitruloka. If you practice upasana, you will go to satyaloka. Two different lokas. Okay, we don't know, but Shastram talks about it. So pitruloka satyaloka praptihi is the avantara palam. So two palams you have to learn now. Avantara palam is what? Pitruloka satyaloka praptihi. What is the paramam prayojanam? What is the ultimate benefit? Antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naishchalyam. Okay, you will get it now. Now, next sentence is what? The example he is giving. Example, why he gives example? every time the author defends something, he does not want to say, I am teaching this. He wants to say, whatever I am telling you here, whatever I am defining you here, is all from the Veda. It's all from the Shastram. Here nothing is my real. Okay? I am not simply reeling. I am not simply telling. Whatever I am writing in this book is all from, based on the teaching of the Veda. What is said in the Veda alone I am teaching. To say that as a proof, he gives examples. He quotes from the Veda. Now, what is the avantra? So he says, the performance of rituals, practicing this, following these rituals or practicing meditation will, apart from giving the main benefit of mental purity and mental steadiness, they give you avantara phalam also. There's a relative result also, that is in terms of attainment of world of means and attainment of world of satyalokaha. Okay, example, he quotes the Shruti. Karmana pitru loko vidyaya deva lokaha. This is a statement from Veda. It's a Vedic statement. It is not, it's given as an example. Every definition, every sentence he talks about, immediately he quotes from the Veda. Karmana pitru loko vidyaya deva lokaha ityadi shrutehe. It means what he says? There's one sentence in the Veda. It says, by performing rituals, one will go to pitrulokaha. Vidyaya, here vidya means meditation. By practicing meditation, one will go to deva lokaha. Okay? Or satyalokaha. This example he quotes. Okay. Which means, when he gave the result of avantra phalam of the meditation rituals, he didn't want to say he is giving his own story. Simply he is telling these things. Whatever he says is based on what is said in the Veda. Is it clear? Okay. Now next. Here ends all about rituals, all about the meditation, he ends. You have learned the different types of karma and the definitions and the examples. Then the benefit of following those rituals and the practicing meditation. Everything you have learned. And here onwards, now he is going to introduce. Now you can take it's the next topic, not the same topic only, but next subheading is what? Sadhanani. Sadhanani means what now? For qualifications. See, the word sadhanam means of attainment. But here, the qualifications which serve as means of preparation or means of attainment of jnanam are also called sadhanani. Qualifications are also called sadhanani because qualifications serve as means of attainment of knowledge. Okay, sadhanani, the qualifications. What are they? First, qualification number one, nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha, number one. It is also already you have learnt in Tattva Bodha. Certain things are given the same definitions, but some are different also. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. Number one, here the author does not split here. He gives a long sentence. I am splitting the sentences, okay? Iha, iha, second, qualification number two. Iha, amutra, artha, phala, భోగ విరాగ సెకండ్ క్వాలిఫికేషన్. ఇహ అముత్ర అర్థ ఫల భోగ విరాగ. See, for people who want to teach or who would it be nice for you to learn, examples you can leave, the definitions you can understand correctly and you can teach them. Very beautiful text this is. So nitya anitya vastu vivekaha, number one qualification. That's called what? There we have learnt as vivekaha. Second qualification, vairagyam. Yes, iha amutra artha phala bhoga viragaha, vairagyam. Then third one, shamadi shatka sampattihi. Shamadi shatka sampattihi. Shama adi shatka sampattihi, third qualification. Fourth qualification, mumukshutvam. Mumukshutvam, fourth qualification. Okay. He enumerates the fourfold qualifications. Then he is going to take each qualification and he is going to explain each qualification separately. Before we go to the explanation of all the qualifications, let us read them first. Sadhanani means fourfold qualifications. Okay. He gives one sentence. Nitya nitya vastu viveke ha mutrartha palabhoga viraga shamadi shatka sampatti mukshutvani. One long sentence. Nice try to read, isn't it? Nitya nitya vastu viveke ha mutrartha ఫల భోగ విరాగ సమాధి షట్క సంపత్తి ముక్షుత్వాని. హి గివ్స్ వన్ సెంటెన్స్, ఓకే, యు డోంట్ నీడ్ డూ దట్. వి హావ్ సెపరేట్ ఆల్రెడీ, వి హావ్ స్పిట్ దట్ సెంటెన్స్ ఇంటూ వన్ సెంటెన్స్ ఇంటూ ఫోర్ సెంటెన్సెస్. హౌ నౌ? ఫస్ట్ క్వాలిఫికేషన్ ఇస్ వాట్? వివేక. వివేక మీన్స్ వాట్? డిస్క్రిమినేషన్ ఆర్ డిస్క్రిమినేటివ్ నాలెడ్జ్. So nitya anitya vastu vivekaha is equal to vivekaha, number one. Iha amutra artha phala bhoga viragaha. So viragaha, first vivekaha, then viragaha. Viragaha is a masculine gender word. Vairagyam is a neuter gender word. Vairagyam, viragaha mean the same. Then third one, shamadi, I'll explain anyway, don't worry. Shamadi shatka sampattihi. So sampattihi means wealth and sixfold wealth. Okay, wealth of sixfold disciplines beginning with shamaha. Sixfold wealth of sixfold disciplines. Six disciples had to be this wealth because they're going to help you accomplish the greatest wealth of moksha. Therefore, the disciplines are called wealth. Wealth of sixfold disciplines beginning with the shamaha. Then mukshutvam. Mukshutvam is a desiderative word. Moktum iccha mumuksha. Desire for freedom. It's called mukshut. So, being endowed with the desire for freedom is called what? Mukshutvam. Okay. Now we'll see each one now. Definition we'll see. First, he explains the vivekaha. What is vivekaha? Next comes, first he enumerates the qualifications. Then he is going to unfold, explain each qualification separately. Let us read now Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekaha. Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekaha. He himself puts that now. So Nityam means permanent, eternal, timeless. Nityam means Nitya is equal to permanent, timeless, eternal. Anitya means time-bound, impermanent, ephemeral. Vastu means object, thing. Literally, the word vastu means what? Reality. Vastu, if you take the word vastu separately, vastu means substance, that which alone is called vastu. But here you can take it as a thing. So nitya anitya vastu means permanent, impermanent. So vastu vivekaha. So vivekaha means viviche jnanam vivekaha. Viviche jnanam vivekaha. Pahuttu aridal. So discriminative knowledge or discriminative understanding of the permanent and the impermanent, eternal and the ephemeral, time bound, timeless and the time bound. Okay, understanding what is eternal, what is non-eternal, what is time bound. It's called Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha. Okay, but here what is the Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha? He says Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekastavat. Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha, what if you say Tavat? He says Brahmaiva Nityam Vastu. The definition Brahmaiva Nityam Vivekaha Kim. What is Viveka? What is Vivekaha? This is what is Vivekaha. According to Shastram, Vivekamna Yennanna. This is what is Vivekaha. Ultimate Viveka. Brahmaiva Nityam Vastu. Brahmaiva Nityam Vastu. Brahmaiva Nityam Vastu. Brahmaiva, you split it. Brahma eva nityam vastu. Brahman alone is eternal reality. Brahman alone is absolute permanent thing. Brahman alone is the eternal permanent reality, permanent thing. Tatonyadakhilam anityam. Tatonyadakhilam anityam means tataha anyat akhilam. Tataha anyat akhilam. You have to separate it. Tataha anyat akhilam anityam. Iti vivechanam. Tataha means other anyat. Tataha anyat means other than that. Tataha means that. Tataha anyat, other than that Brahman, other than Brahman. Tataha anyat, other than that Brahman, akhilam anityam. Everything else, akhilam means what? All that is here, other, akhilam means all that is, everything. Akhilam means everything. Everything else other than Brahman is anityam, ephemeral, time bound, impermanent. Iti vivechanam tas endra pagutarivu. Vivechanam means what? Discrimination. Vivechanam is vivekaha. Vivechanam is a neuter word. Vivekaha is a masculine word. Both mean the same. Vivechanam, vivekaha. Same meaning. So, Brahmaiva nityam vastu, tataha anyat akhilam anityam, iti vivechanam, vivekaha. So, the absolute reality, Brahman alone, is permanent, eternal, and everything else other than that Brahman is impermanent, time bound, ephemeral. Iti, thus, what now? This knowledge is what? Discriminative knowledge of what is permanent and what is impermanent. Nityam is satyam, anityam is mithya. Anyway, nitya, nitya, vastu, vivekaha is what? Satyam, mithya, vivekaha. Anyway, that will come later on, but now, nitya, nitya, vastu, vivekaha. You should have any doubt. This is, if you ask, what is discrimination? What is that said to be discriminative knowledge ultimately in Shastram? With reference to Shastram, the exalted form of discrimination is discriminative knowledge of the permanent and the impermanent. And there again, reality implied by the term Brahman alone is real, and everything else other than Brahman is non-eternal, ephemeral, time-bound. This is the definition. Okay? Nityam vastu, Brahmaiva nityam vastu. You have to say that. Brahmaiva nityam vastu, tataha anyat akhilam anityam. Tataha means Brahmanaha. Other than Brahman, other than that Brahman, the reality, everything else is anityam. Iti vivechanam. Engindra pahuttarive vivekam. Okay. Okay, now, having given the definition of what is nitya nitya vastu vivekaha, what is vivekaha he has defined. Definition of vivekaha he has given. Now he is giving example. Look at the example here. Aihikanam srak chandana vanitadi. Aihikanam srak chandana vanitadi vishaya bhoganam karma janya anityatvavat amushmikanam api amrutadi vishaya bhoganam anityataya. Let me read the first sentence now. So having defined the vivekaha, suppose if we have the viveka, then what should be there next? What should come there now? Definitely there must be, if we know 100% clear, if you are clear, Brahman alone is eternal. Everything else is impermanent. If that becomes very clear, the desire will be for the eternal. The passion will be for the eternal. Dispassion must be towards the time bound. Isn't it? This viveka must be there for one to have the next qualification called vairagyam. So vairagyam without the viveka, it will be smashana vairagyam. Pujya Swamiji used to tell, you know. See, Pujya Swamiji used to say before, vivekaha, vairagyam, dispassion without the viveka. Suppose somebody has dispassion without the viveka. Without viveka, without discriminative knowledge, if at all somebody has any dispassion, that dispassion is only frustration. You know why? It's called smashana vairagyam. Smashana vairagyam means, anyway, in the society, somebody or the other will be dying, relatives, and we all go for condolences. And until the antyashti, 13th day, 31st day, what happens? People feel, oh, antyashti, somebody has passed away, means really we miss the death. Whenever death happens and we feel really low, whoever dies, you go to the condolence house and see the people crying and then talk about the greatness of the person. And then you immediately, this is what his life is. One day people die. And until the 13th day, we all feel what? We all talk like we tattvavadis. We all feel suddenly you lose interest in things. One day we had to die like this. No. Whenever we come across the death, we happen to know the death, attend the death, condolence, etc. We become dispassionate like. And that happens what now? One, the smashana means the burial ground, okay? The crematorium, the ground of cremation. And one, the after that, again after some time, few months go away, vairagyam also goes. So vairagyam without viveka will be a temporary frustration. It is not vairagyam, smashana vairagyam. So if at all you have proper vairagyam, means definitely proper vairagyam must be born of the viveka. Viveka itself is a maturity, isn't it? Vairagyam or viragha must be born of the understanding or definite understanding of what is permanent and what is impermanent. So this vivekaha will lead one to definitely have what? Dispassion. So dispassion towards what? Dispassion towards the time bound and passion for the eternal. This way, passion for the eternal alone will help you discover dispassion toward the impermanent. If there is no passion for the eternal and dispassion towards the impermanent is not a qualification. Without the passion for the eternal, dispassion towards the impermanent is not the qualification. It can take it as laziness. I'm not interested in anything. Why? Because I'm not ready to work very hard. But dispassion, without the passion for knowledge, is not a qualification. dispassion towards everything else must be because of the passion for the eternal. For what he says in this context, once you have viveka, there will be vairagyam. What is it? Aihikanam. Aihikana means objects of this world. Ihalokanam. Aihikana means ihalokanam. The objects of enjoyment obtaining in this world, in this life. Objects of enjoyment of this world, this while living here in this world, srak. No, srak means garland. Then chandanam means sandal paste. Vanita means woman. Adi means etc. Vishya bhoganam. Vishya bhogaha means what now? Objects of enjoyment. Or the enjoyment of objects. So, enjoyment of objects such as woman, sandal, paste, garlands and flowers and so, you can say everything else. All of them of this world, then there are all the objects of enjoyment are all what now? Karma janya. Karma janya anityavatu. They're all subject to time. Why all these objects of enjoyment, such as woman, any pleasures, all the pleasures, all the objects of enjoyment, enjoyable in this world, are all time bound. Anityatvavatu. They all time bound in nature. Why? Because they're all products of actions. They are results of actions. All the objects of enjoyment enjoyed in this world happen to be the results of the actions. They're all time bound in nature. Okay. Not only them, what about the objects of enjoyment available, obtaining in the higher lokas, like enjoyable life after, he says next sentence, Amushmikanam. Amushmikana means the other world, not this world, other world. Amushmikanam api means also. Amritadi Vishaya Bhoganam. Even the enjoyment of heavenly objects such as nectar, etc., a temporary freedom. Amritam here means a temporary freedom. So objects of enjoyment such as temporary freedom, you can in also, okay, enjoyable in higher lokas. Or in enjoyable other lokas after death also what? Anityataya also are what now? Time bound in nature. So not only the objects of enjoyment enjoyed in this world are time bound in nature. Even the other objects of enjoyment, pleasures, enjoyable in the higher worlds, other lokas after the death, they are also what? Time bound in nature. Why? Because whether objects of enjoyment, pleasures enjoyed in this world or in higher world, they are all time bound mainly because they are all results of actions. Punya phalam. Results of actions. And action itself is time-bound in nature. Action produced result also is time-bound. And punyam also is time-bound. And punya produced pleasure, enjoyment of pleasures, objects of enjoyment also what? Time-bound in nature. are all impermanent. Therefore, tebhyaha, towards them, nitaram viraktihi. Nitaram viraktihi means total, dispassion. Viraktihi means dispassion. Viraktihi towards all of them, knowing their nature, time-bound nature, that they cannot give us, all these objects of enjoyment and pleasures, enjoyed in this world and enjoyed in higher worlds, cannot give me everlasting happiness. Okay, knowing the time-bound nature and discovering the total dispassion towards all of them is called what? Iha amutra artha phala bhoga viragaha. That is called vairagyam. He defines vairagyam. Iha means what? In this world. Amutra means other world. Artha phala means objects of enjoyment. Bhogaha means enjoyment. Artha phala means bhogaha, enjoyment. Viragaha, dispassion. Dispassion towards the objects of enjoyment and pleasures enjoyable in this world and other worlds is called what? Vairagyam. See, vairagyam is a neuter gender word. Viragaha is a masculine gender word. Viraktihi is a feminine gender word. Okay, all the three words mean the same. It's beautiful, isn't it? Vairagyam, neuter gender word. Viragaha, masculine gender word. Viraktihi, feminine gender word. All the three words mean what? Dispassion. So dispassion is what now? Dispassion is the beautiful expression of one's maturity. Maturity born of what? Born of the understanding. Understanding of what? Understanding of the limitations. Limited time-bound nature of all the objects of enjoyment. Time-bound nature of all the pleasures enjoyed here in this world and also in higher worlds. One can understand why, whether the pleasures or objects of enjoyment enjoyed in the higher worlds or in this world, all of them are time-bound in nature. Why? They're all results of actions. Actions are time-bound, the results are time-bound, the punyam is time-bound, and the punyam translated what? The results in terms of enjoyment of pleasures or objects also time-bound in nature. So time-bound objects and time-bound pleasures cannot give me eternal, everlasting happiness that I am seeking. They cannot give me what I am seeking. This doubtless understanding, clear, firm understanding, what I am seeking is everlasting happiness. Permanent happiness. So impermanent cannot give me permanent happiness. Okay. Understanding of this will result in what? Result in discovery of the nitaram viraktihi, total dispassion towards all these pleasures and enjoyment. Is called what? Vairagyam, viragaha. So he makes it very clear. In defining the vairagyam, he makes it very clear how everything else here is time-bound in nature, which means he emphasizes the fact Brahman alone is real. Brahman alone is permanent. Okay, now next. Shama dayastu. Oh, what do you mean by shama dayaha? Shamaha, etc. or what? The disciplines such as shamaha or what? He says, shama, need not know, shama, dama, uparati, titiksha, samadhana, shraddha, akhyaha, shamadama, uparati, titiksha, samadhana, shraddhakyaha, shamaha, damaha. You learned there uparatihi or uparamaha. Both are okay. Uparatihi, titiksha, samadhana, samadhanam. When you write it separately, you have to learn each word separately. Shamaha, damaha, visarga. Uparatihi or uparamaha. Okay, uparatihi. Titiksha, four. Titiksha, samadhanam. Then shraddha, six. Shamaha, damaha, uparamaha or uparatihi, titiksha, samadhanam, shraddha. Got it? These are the sixfold disciplines. Shamaha, damaha, uparatihi, titiksha, samadhanam, shraddha are the sixfold disciplines. And the sixfold disciplines are considered what now? As wealth, sampattihi. Shama adi sampatti, shatka sampattihi. Means shatka means what? A set of six. A set of wealth of set of sixfold disciplines. Shamaha, damaha, uparamaha, titiksha, samadhanam, saddha. He just enumerated the sixfold disciplines here. What are those sixfold disciplines? Now each discipline will understand clearly in the next class. Okay? Now we have only learned the names of disciplines. We will see what each discipline is. We'll see in the next class. Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.